Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? It's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, but more importantly, a student, an ongoing constant. I never get out of school. I never take breaks. I never get vacations. It is a school of what? A school of life, a school of learning, a school of just more information, and I cannot wait to share this latest download from the universe with you. But before I do that, let me just say welcome, and if you want to speak with me live, you can call the number area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and or if you're on Wisdom, just ask to join. Ooh-wee. Before I start on today's topic, let me just share a little something personal. What's happening behind the scenes? What's happening behind the curtains? I am babysitting two kittens. Well, they're 5 months old. They're not cats, they're kittens. But I still call them cats. For 11 days, I've got five more days to go, and I'm not a cat person. So I have a question. Does anybody have a recipe for cat stew? I mean, just kidding. Just kidding. But you know the interesting thing is I'm learning a lot about cats. These cats and how it relates to this contentment, happiness thing. But you know what? Let me just back up a little bit. I didn't do a introduction. Happiness specialist. Who the hell do I think I am? Happiness, huh? Let me be very clear. When I talk about happiness, I'm talking about a personal vibration. I'm talking about, and I see you on there, Wisdom. Just hold on a second. You're going to have to give me a little bit of time. You have to give an introduction. Happiness is, it's a personal vibration. It is a personal energy. And everybody understands when I say the energy of contentment, the vibration of peace, inner peace, contentment. That's what I'm talking about when I say happiness. Because as far as I'm concerned, when I am vibrating that peaceful energy, and it doesn't matter what happens, that's the key. Your external circumstances do not matter, do not count. It has nothing to do with this inner peace and this contentment that I'm talking about. So the vibration, the energy, does not change with your circumstances changing. The energy of contentment does not leave when you're met with a challenge or a problem or an unwanted moment. You still have the ability to practice, you still have the ability to vibrate the energy of contentment. And the good news is happiness is a practice skill. Happiness is a practice skill, and that means anyone that is interested in prioritizing, making a commitment to happiness. I get a lot of people when I ask them, you want to be happier? You want to experience more happiness? Oh, yeah, the room just lights up. The hands go up. Yeah, me. Yes, of course. Yes, happiness where? I want more of it, of course. Isn't that the new wealth? In fact, that's what I'm saying. Happiness is the new wealth. Scratch the health, scratch the money. This vibration of contentment is the new wealth. Tell me something that's even on another level, on the same level. But that's just me. And let me just say this also. I do not pretend to have all of the answers, but I've been studying this topic for 45 years. That's right. She said it. 45 years. When I was younger, you know, you remember blowing out the candles and making a wish on your birthday cake. On your birthday cake, you remember blowing out the candles and making a wish. And I always wish for the same two things. And if you've heard this a million times, this is a million and one. Just put your hands over your ears. I wish for two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. And so this search, this seeking, this journey to find happiness has gotten me to a place where I am the leading expert on it. And when I say happiness is a practice skill, that means anybody can practice. And just like if you want to be, what is it, 2% of the population that comes out of college plays professional football, 2%? No, this is 100%. This is 100%. If you want to experience more happiness, you can. If you prioritize that, if you think that's important. And in fact, that'll just take me into my next little introduction, because I like to, there's a lot of people that are just listening for the first time, so I like to give a proper introduction. You can Google this study. It's called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. And it was a study done by a hospice nurse with her patients that had days, weeks, and months to live. And she asked them what were their biggest regrets. And the same 5 regrets kept coming up over and over and over again. And they are, thank you for asking, number one, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. And number five, I wish I would have been happier. So, for 45 years, I've devoted my entire life to this search, discovery. What is the truth about happiness? What is the truth about happiness? I know a lot of people that are up here looking for it, searching for it. Well, the truth is everybody isn't interested. Everybody isn't interested in being happy. There are a lot of people that think that's not important. And, in fact, they get a lot of pushback. Why do you use the word happy? I'd rather use the word joy. It doesn't matter, the word. It doesn't matter. Use whatever word you want. It is an energy of contentment. That's what I'm talking about when I say happy. So on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm going to ask you, how important is happiness in your life? And what's your definition of happiness? Oh, I'm glad you asked. My definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace and contentment regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens in my life and regardless of what doesn't happen, I'm going to vibrate an energy of peace at all times. And that is a practice that anyone that's interested can start working on or not. So answer yes or no. These 5 questions. Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel, or do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? If you answered yes to any of those questions, guess what? You're listening to the right show. Because no, people hurting your feelings? I know the program says, yes, someone can hurt my feelings. That's what we're all programmed to believe. You hurt my feelings. Now, what are you going to do about it? Oh, I'm offended. And what are you going to do about it? You see why I don't have any friends? Can other people disappoint you? There's only two reasons why anyone feels disappointed. Only two reasons. There's only one reason. There's only one reason why a person feels disappointed or they have their heart broken. One reason. It's because they have expectations. So when I talk about program behaviors to eliminate so you can experience more happiness, one of the program behaviors is to eliminate having expectations, all expectations, not just one, not just two, not just sometimes, all the time. Zero expectations of people, of the way life is unfolding. Can you just flow with it? Can you just flow? Well, the ego can't flow. The ego doesn't flow. The ego is very, very unsatisfied, dissatisfied, discontented. There's always a problem. And that's why I don't give it any power. And that's why ego, my poor ego. I've said it before. It's on life support. Life support. Sometimes it pops up, but not for long. But let me stay on track. My definition of happiness, I already said that, the ability to vibrate an energy of peace. And I give this visual where you're standing in a rowboat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You've got Hurricane Hillary. What's the new one? The other hurricane, typhoons, tsunamis. The rowboat is up and down, but you are standing and you are at peace regardless of what life throws at you, regardless of whatever the challenge is. The call to speak with me live, you can call area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619 if you want to ask me a question. And today's topic, oh, you know what, before I go on, let me just share with you. When I say happiness, inner peace, and contentment are practice skills, they're like any other skills. The more you commit to the practice, the better the results. And where is the practice done? Oh, that's why not a lot of people are running to practice. It's done. All the practice is done in the mirror. What? In the mirror. That's right. So it's all on you. But that's how powerful you are. The more you commit to the practice, when I say happiness is a practice skill, so the question to ask yourself is, are you ready to prioritize the vibration, also known as the energy of happiness, peace, and contentment, satisfaction over everything else? Over everything else. Only you, my dear audience, can answer that question. And your answer is going to determine how much inner peace, contentment, and happiness you're going to get to experience. And I'm not talking about, oh, when things just go right and the stars are aligned and, oh, the connections are good. No, I'm talking about in the middle of the storm. Because you only know someone when they're challenged. It's easy to be happy. It's easy to be flowy. It's easy not to resist when things are going great. No, I want to know who you are when the road is bumpy, when the road gets bumpy. And that's when the practice starts. And so the first part of this practice is to gradually eliminate all of those proven behaviors that subtract from your inner peace, contentment, and happiness. I'm up to 54, and I've leveled them. I've labeled them. I've put each one of them on a different level. Level 1, level 2, and level 3. So the program behaviors we all learned as a child, and we adopted as true, and we believe them as adults. So this thing about worrying, oh, that's normal. Having expectations is normal. It's normal. No, it's not normal. It's a program. And some of the level one program behaviors that have been, that are proven to subtract from your happiness, number one, is blaming anyone or any circumstances for how you're feeling. Your feelings have nothing to do with your circumstances. What? Let me just say this. This whole show, you may or may not be triggered, buttons pushed, and that's okay. I get triggered, my buttons get pushed too. And there's a reason for that. And I'm going to go back to that. The programming, the buttons pushed, reacting the same way. And there's a difference between reacting and responding. Responding requires conscious behavior, a conscious decision. Reacting is a programmed robot. And I'm here to tell you that I won't say what percentage are programmed robots running around on this planet, but it's a lot. And I'm going to say I've got a few programmed robot behaviors myself. But if you know me, and you do, I'm putting a spotlight on all those triggers. I'm putting a spotlight on all those buttons. Can you imagine living life on this journey and not being triggered and not having buttons pushed? That's one of my goals. Talk about a goal. That's a goal. That's one of my goals. In fact, that's one of the things I asked the universe for probably, 15 years ago. I just don't want to be annoyed or irritated. And then the pushback is, whatever, but that's normal. Yeah, that's no, that's a program, believing that triggers and buttons pushed is normal. Because as a child, before you were programmed, I could say anything to you. You're not going to respond, but I digress. Level one, I already said blaming anyone, comparing yourself to someone else. Trying to control anyone or anything outside of self. Complaining, that's an easy one. Talking negatively about what someone else is doing, that's also known as gossip. Thinking money can buy inner peace, contentment, or happiness. Or even thinking money, this is another one I hear. Thinking money means freedom. I get it. Yeah, freedom to travel, freedom to buy whatever you want. All of that, you have freedom to do that. But if you have issues, if you have program issues of insecurity, or your button can get pushed, or you can get offended, or you worry, how is your money going to stop you? How is money going to stop from being afraid or worrying or being impatient or complaining or comparing or... Come on. I don't need to go on. I don't need to drag it into the ground. Taking anything personally. I don't care if you have $500 billion. Did I say billion? Billion dollars. If you still take things personally and you can be offended and you can be affected by what someone else says or does, how free is that? Yeah, free to buy things. Easy. That's easy, but the freedom to have a different perspective in an instant, of freedom to let go of anything that, how about this, freedom from the ego? You're either vibrating dissatisfaction in any moment or satisfaction in any moment. And let me get to this free will. Oh, you know what, let me go to my guests. They've been waiting so patiently. Thank you for waiting on Wisdom. Hold on a second. Let me pull you up. And we are talking about the topic of free will. I haven't even started yet, but I am definitely going to pull in my guests only because of their patience. Okay, here we go, Terry. All right, here we go. Greetings, Terry. Thank you for joining. What's
greetings,
up?
Greetings, Rebecca.
Greetings.
I have nothing but patience, so fear not.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I always enjoy listening to you and your passion and joy.
Thank you. Do you have a comment? What is your perspective? Do you have free will?
Of course I do. Everybody has free will on this planet.
Oh, okay. Well, this is going to be a great topic because I disagree totally, and I'm about to prove it. You ready?
Well, that's very interesting. I'll be glad to listen to your...
How about this, Terry? Let me ask you this before I get into it. How about this? So, do you worry?
I do worry because I'm a human being.
Okay. You worry because you're a programmed human being. You didn't pop out of the womb knowing how to worry. And so, number one, worrying...
I popped out of the womb a perfect human being. But I was programmed, as you like to say, once I got to an age where I can understand, unfortunately.
Yes, and so that's what I'm saying. So when you say everybody worries, everybody's programmed to worry. So I'm really, I really attack and put a spotlight on this programming. And this thing about everybody worries, it's just another programmed, it's another programmed statement. So number one, you're programmed to worry. Number two, the only reason why anyone worries is lack of trust. You can't worry and trust at the same time. And so here we go with the free will. Here we go with the free will. You talk about worrying. What a perfect segue. Talk about, so do you think that worrying is constructive just in your life? Is worrying constructive? Does it do any good? Does it help? Does it help the person you're worried about? Does it help you? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, so you have free will. Stop worrying.
Exactly.
No, I'm telling you, since you say you say everybody has free will, I'm telling you to stop worrying right now. Let's see your free will kick in.
I'm not worried at this moment.
No, I'm really, and I'm not picking on you. I really love the challenge. I mean, in the future, stop worrying right now.
There is no future. It's always happening right now, baby. What are you talking about?
Okay. So I just said stop worrying, and you said you're not worrying now. That's a nice way around it.
I do worry, and I have worried, but I know there is a conscious decision to worry,
And why would anybody consciously choose to worry when they know that it's not, because
they're told, oh, you got to worry about this. You got to worry about that. If you don't worry about this, you'll be in trouble. People are programmed, as you said. It's a choice. Happiness is a choice, like you're talking about happiness.
No, that's not a choice either. If you're programmed, it's not a choice. That's what I'm trying to say.
In the 3D reality, Rebecca, in the 3D reality, it is a choice.
Okay.
Because when you're truly happy, I can sum that up in a very short sentence. You're truly happy when you are in alignment with Source. There you go.
Exactly. Now, when you're in alignment with Source, so then your identity is with Source. And so where is this? And so why would somebody choose not to be in alignment with Source?
Well, because they might want to experience what it's like to be not in alignment with Source, because Source likes to experience what he is not. And people think that God can be offended. How bizarre. God is unconditional love. He loves the serial killer as much as he loves the saint. And this is a concept which is very difficult for some people.
You know what? You have been listening to me, because one of the things that I always say is the sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope.
I've known this for quite a while, actually. But anyway, I've heard you say that, yes.
I love that. But, and thank you so much for joining and contributing. But the truth is, when I say worrying, everybody worries. If you have free will, why would anybody choose to do something that everybody knows is not constructive, in fact, quite frankly, destructive to themselves and to the person that they're worried about, especially if they announce it? I'm worried. And if you ever announce it to somebody that you're worried about them, know that you're just, it's just another way to manipulate and try to control somebody to change their behavior so you don't worry. But I'm off the topic now. Let's get back to this free will. And everybody has free will. And I'm going to say, and I disagree, everybody doesn't have free will, especially if you're operating under the program and under a program. And that's 98% of the population. Did you say that out loud, Rebecca? Yes, you did. Now what's going to happen doesn't matter. 98% of the population is programmed, is operating on a program. So here we go. This is today's topic, free will. Myth or reality? Okay, how about this? I hear we all have free will, but you can say it, but where's the evidence of it? You know, if you go into a courthouse, you can't just say, I'm innocent. You've got to have evidence. You have to have evidence to back up your claims. So let's get back to this free will. How about this? I have a question. When you, my dear audience, when you hear that somebody died, whether they're, let's say this, a family member or somebody that's close to you, a friend, family member, somebody that's close to you and you hear that they died or you found out that they died, the question is, what is your response to that? I can give you some program responses, which is, okay, which, how about this? Scratch the program responses. I can give you some, they sell it in the stores, that, you know, Hallmark greeting. Same cards with the same words, just a different design on the cover. Sorry for your loss, my deepest sympathy, times like this. I mean, you know, it's always the same. In fact, let me go back to the individual, and bear with me. This is something that I've never really discussed in depth on this show. In fact, I, 17 pages now, yeah, I typed up 17 pages and about why there is no free will. So let's get back to the, so you find out somebody dies. Do you instantly go into the mode of hearing that news? Or do you have free will? Do you have a free will to respond in a different way? Let's take another example, winning and losing. The baseball, whatever you're a sports fan, baseball, basketball, football. You notice, if you've noticed, there is a different demeanor, and I'm talking about from the professional all the way down to college. Especially I'm talking about adults. Let's stick with the professional. I watched a football fan, and I got my favorite players, and I know exactly, I can feel their demeanor. You can feel their energy. You can watch their demeanor, whether they won or whether they lost. It's the same. I'm going to just say Tom Brady. He was one of my favorites when he was playing. If you hate him or you don't, you like him or you hate him, it doesn't matter. And Tom Brady, when he lost, he had this, there was no lightness. He was pissed. He was bothered. He was frustrated, as most professional athletes, as most people that are competitors. I get it. I'm a professional athlete, too. I just, you know, on the aerobic side, I mean, I've taught fitness classes for 45 years. I'm a professional athlete. Even at 67, how did I get off on that topic? So you can watch them. there was a certain demeanor, and then when he won, there was another demeanor. So with free will, that would indicate that you can change how you respond to winning or losing, that you don't have to do the same, you don't have to react, okay, because there's a difference between reacting and responding, and reacting is a program. So you don't have to react the same way. But can someone change the way that they're acting with a win or a loss if that's what's been programmed? And let me back up a little bit. When I say programmed, I'm talking about a deep thought. Let's see, hold on. Where did I write? I wrote this down. Hold on a second. Oh, thought patterns. Those deep thought patterns that are ingrained. You know, when you start thinking a certain way and those thought patterns get deeper and deeper and deeper and they get ingrained, the only way to fill up those deeply ingrained thought patterns is with a new thought, is with a different thought. But unless you put a spotlight on it, unless you focus on or have an awareness of this recycled thought pattern, win, lose, recycled thought pattern, what's the other one? Money. That's another deeply rooted thought pattern. So unless you recognize that you have these thought patterns that keep going, that just keep the same, meaning that you're going to respond to death the same way. You're going to respond to getting money, having money, losing money the same way. You're going to respond to winning or losing. Unless you can respond in different ways, with different, meaning not the same way, something different, then there's no free will. Where's the free will? And again, if you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Press the number 1 if you want to speak with me live. I have a few people in the queue. But if you want to speak with me, you have to press the number 1, area code 646-564-9619. Press the number 1. Here we go. Let's get a little bit deeper into this free will myth or reality. I just told you there's no free will. Let me give you an example. And I hear this, trust me, I hear this all the time. And I am, I realize that this show, that me and this show is saying totally the opposite of what's out there. What's out there with this, yes, we have free will, but know that is your ego wanting you to believe that. Let me get to an example. Because as soon as you're born, you're given a name, a nationality, a religion, a race, and a culture. Then you spend the rest of your life identifying and defending that program. Let me give you an example. What was his name? Hold on a second. I'm trying to remember. A very popular gentleman back in the day, way 3,000, 5,000, I mean thousands of years ago. Oh, his name was Jesus. What's up, Jesus? And so the very famous scene, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is having a conversation with God and saying, "Hey, excuse me, I, he raises his hand, waving his arms, SOS, SOS. And see the interesting thing. Remember when I said buttons are going to be pushed? I've already gotten some reactions. That's okay. That's all right. So Jesus is arguing or saying, take this cup away from me. I don't want this. I don't want to experience this. No, thank you. Set me free." And he was very, very passionate about not wanting the experience of being crucified. Very passionate. And this isn't about a religion. This is just about a lesson. And then finally, after hours and hours of struggle, what did Jesus finally say? What did Jesus say? Arms out, okay, not my will, your will. Not my will, your will. So I've asked people, I've asked a lot of times, did Jesus have free will? Could Jesus have made a different decision? And like 98% of the time, people respond and they say, yeah, of course he could have chosen something different. Of course he could have chosen something different. And I argue that that was Jesus' destiny. That was his destiny, and he could not have chosen anything different. He was living out his destiny, and a destiny that he already co-signed on before he got here, before he arrived on the planet. That's just my perspective, and I am not here to argue back and forth maybe having a different perspective or a different belief. I totally get it. I know that I'm in the minority. Hold on a second. I have to get some water. Hold on just a minute. Hold on. Arrowhead spring water. I know that this perspective is different, and it's okay. I don't mind being the only one that thinks, well, I'm not the only one, but thinking that yes, Jesus had free will, because that's what I get. And so the ego wanted me to believe that yes, Jesus had free will, but no, that was Jesus' destiny. And then let's get back to this free will myth or reality. Let's start with DNA. What? DNA. And I'm not going to touch on it. I'm just going to say for free will, you also have to throw in and consider your DNA. Not only do you have to consider your DNA, which you had no choice over. Your eyes are green, your eyes are brown, your eyes are blue, your eyes are whatever color. You had no choice. You don't have any choice about your digestive system. You're not choosing to have all of this, all your circulatory system work. That's not a choice. Your eye color, your height, your weight, your disposition to certain diseases are not choices. That's DNA. And the IQ, not all of it, but there's a very large percentage, I think 50 to 60%, up to 73%. And you can Google all of this stuff. IQ plays a part in, your IQ plays a part in also your decisions. Can you imagine somebody with a lower IQ and someone with a higher IQ? Not saying there's anything right or wrong with either one, but both of them are going to be able to have, are going to be different. Can you imagine that how the person with a lower IQ, how long it takes them to learn something or to retain something? It's going to be totally different than the person that learning comes easier. That's another factor with this free will. The other thing, okay, so we said DNA, we said IQ, here we go, the subconscious mind, and welcome back. The subconscious mind. What is the purpose of the subconscious mind? Does anybody know? And see, this is another example or more evidence that free will. Well, the subconscious mind, and I'm just being very quick with the description, but the subconscious mind plays a significant role in our lives, depending on whether or not and determining whether or not an individual has free will. Because since the birth, the subconscious mind has recorded everything, has stored every conversation, has stored the energy that the I'm getting too excited. That's what it is. Let me take a couple of deep breaths. Oh, Jesus, let me slow down. Whew. I'm going to wear myself out. Okay, back to the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind records everything until a child is, I think, 5, 6, or 7. That's the only thing a child has to rely on is their subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind orchestrates all our body functions, our taste, our sight, our touch. We talked about the digestive system, the muscular system, the nervous system. All internal body functions are run by the subconscious mind. Memories come from the subconscious mind. And there are some memories that the subconscious mind, unless you are aided with hypnosis, is not going to just pull up. You're not going to just remember. Well, I'm not going to say you. Let me just speak about me. I'm not going to just remember. So the subconscious mind plays another huge role on whether or not a person has free will. Here we go. Can operate and make a different decision than the decision with these thought patterns that are ingrained. And if you do have thought patterns, and we all do, myself included, have ingrained thought patterns, and unless there is an active behavior to change your thought patterns, to forge another thought pattern, guess what? You go right into the react. When I am on the phone with customer service, it doesn't matter what kind of customer service. That's one of my things. Talk about buttons pushing. You know, I've asked, can I have a different reaction? I mean, I'm 67 years old. Why am I still reacting to a customer service person who is not solving the problem or who is talking around the problem? I mean, my ego will give me so many stories. And if I'm responding the same way, if I'm getting frustrated, if I'm not being patient, if I'm responding the same way after 67 years, that's not free will. That's not free will. That is a takeover. That is a possession. And when I say a possession, the ego is possessing my behavior. If you cannot change, if you cannot if you cannot behave in a totally different way than you have been behaving for years or decades, then where's the free will? Let me get back to the subconscious mind. There are studies, you can Google this too, and there are studies that the decision that is made in the subconscious mind is 11 seconds before, the decision is made 11 seconds before the conscious mind, before it hits the conscious mind. That's the decisions that are made in the subconscious mind are 11 seconds before the decision is reached in the conscious mind. That means that my subconscious mind, before I even, unless I'm aware of it, and see, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, there is free will when you are aware and you can make a different decision. But unless you are aware and unless you take all of those factors, all of those things into and factor out everything from your DNA to your IQ, how quickly you learn, to your subconscious, to your conscious, and then your thought patterns, if you are not actively really digging deep and putting a spotlight on it, you're just reacting over and over and regurgitating the same over and over again. And again, we talked about worrying when Terry called. We talked about worrying. And Terry said, yeah, everybody worries. Well, number one, that's not a true statement. Everybody doesn't worry. Program people worry. That's a true statement. And the other statement is, the other thing is, you either trust, you can't trust and worry at the same time. So why aren't these people that are worrying choosing a different behavior? Why can't they instantly, I just clapped my hand and just clapped them again a little bit better, instantly change and say, no, I'm not going to worry again. I don't want to worry. Free will, stop worrying. Free will, respond differently with a win or a loss. Free will, have a different response with the customer service. Oh, I'm still working on it. I got to have something to practice. I got a lot of things to practice, trust me. Okay, so get back to the subconscious mind makes a decision 11 seconds before it sends the decision to the conscious mind. Now, there's a lot of information online. 9 facts you should know about the subconscious mind. You can Google that article. Great article. And then the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. How does it all work? I contend that unless you are, so aware, okay, so back up. We talked about subconscious, unconscious pattern thoughts, thought patterns, and this is the other thing I want to say. Before I can feel, be triggered or have a button pushed when I'm calling customer service and they're slow before I respond with my impatience and the eyes start rolling up and the frustration and the annoyance of the customer service experience, I've got to accept, here we go, I've got to accept that person that is worried, that is annoyed, that is bothered, that is triggered, that is impatient, is me. I have to identify with that emotion. I have to identify with the emotion of frustration, annoyance, buttons pushed, trigger, anger, worry. I have to identify with that. And here we go. And this is where the free will comes in. When you do not identify with these thoughts and with the stories, and you forge a new thought pattern, you're not just running on the thought patterns that are already grooved in, and you can forge a new thought pattern, then yes, you have free will. But if you do not, where's the free will? If you're reacting, if you are worrying, taking things personally, how about that one? That's a good one. Taking things personally. If I told you you're going to experience more peace, more contentment, more happiness, if you don't take anything personally, if you stop taking things personally, and by the way, this is an impersonal universe. This is an impersonal universe, and nature is impersonal. But if I said your happiness is going to rise, your contentment is going to rise, you're going to feel more contentment than you could ever even imagine, all you have to do is just not take anything personally anymore. All you have to do is just let go of worrying. How many of you can stop it? Stop taking things personally. Stop worrying. And the answer is, you can't. If I said stop worrying, and you can't, that means there's no free will. And you can't, I say stop worrying, stop taking things personally, stop complaining. What's the other one the need, how about this one? The need to be right, oh, that's a big one. The need to be right, that's a deep one. And if you can't let go of these deep thought patterns, and if you can't make a different decision, a different choice, a different behavior, where's your free will? Where is it? Where is the free will? Where is the free will? I don't see it. I don't feel it unless. And see, that's what I'm talking about. You get from the DNA to the IQ. These are all the considerations. Oh, yes, we all have free will. Of course, free will. Really? Prove it. Prove it. Change a deep thought pattern that you've had for years, for decades. Change it. Eliminate it. Now. Mr. and Mrs. Free Will. Listen, I'm being a little light. I'm not a little light. You know, I like to joke. I'm one of those. It's very annoying to my son, my poor son. Mom, you're just a clown. You're a clown, he calls me. You think everything's funny. I know that sometimes that's annoying, but but I don't take anything he says to me personally. And if anybody, that's another thing. If anybody, quote unquote, criticizes you, labels you something negative, can you just let it go? Can you laugh? You've all heard the story. You know, I was called toxic, selfish, delusional. I've wasted 35 years of my life. What I've accomplished can't be measured. Therefore, I've accomplished nothing. That was told to me to my face by a man with 197 IQ. I'm gonna repost that article on my LinkedIn. I'm gonna repost that article either today or tomorrow, so you can read it again. But back to the point. Was that even an insult? Of course not. That was just an expression. But what happens when you are, and I'm just talking to you, my dear audience, and only you can answer this. What happens when you're disrespected, or someone hurts your feelings, or someone someone offends you? Are you responding the same way all the time? Yes or no? Are you responding the exact same way? Instant? Then all that is a programmed robot. No offense. I got my programmed robot. Some things in me too, but I will be damned if I'm not going to search and look for all of those programmings to eliminate them one by one with patience. And you know what? Let me tell you what I do, because I'm not into this working hard, work hard, and no. A fish doesn't work hard to swim, and a bird doesn't work hard to fly. So this journey is about flowing. This is my perspective. This journey is about flowing with what is, flowing with all the present moments, flowing. Back to the free will. When I'm not flowing, when I resist the present moment, when I find fault, when I when scratch the eye. You see? So it's really I? Is it me that is resisting? Or is it that entity, that ego, that lower consciousness, critical mind resisting? Is that me feeling lonely? Or is that other entity? See, it is a real practice here to separate yourself from your ego. Your ego wants you to believe that you are it and it is you. You are it and it is you. And in fact, if my poor ego, I mean, I insult it by saying, no, I'm not you. I know who you are and we're not the same. But you know what, ego? I'm going to witness you. I'm going to witness you and all of your emotions and all of your poo-poo and all of your and all of your problems and all of your distress. I'm going to witness it, ego. I'm just going to witness. See, that's the key. When you can witness, step outside. It really is a conscious, it is a practice that I'm telling you, oh, with this practice, you will experience nothing but peace and contentment. When you are able to separate yourself from that discontented, from that negative, complaining, critical, all bad news all the time. You know that entity. When you are able to just observe it, wow. Hoo-wee. And let me hit you with this one, because I might as well. I mean, you're already, you got your seatbelts on. Put your seatbelts on for this, and also you're going to need a crash helmet, too. Seatbelts and crash helmet. One of the things that I hear a lot is, what's your why? Tell me your why. Do you have a strong why? Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, and that's why I don't have any friends. Let me get back to the show. What is your why? Do you know what a programmed thing that is to say? And when you say, what is your why, who is the entity giving you that answer of this is my why? I want to make the world a better place. Better place? Better, what's wrong with it? Make the world a better place. What's wrong with this world right now? What is it? My ego can find a lot of things wrong with it, but guess what? God doesn't make mistakes. Everything is in order. There's nothing wrong with whatever's going on in this world. Nothing. That's impossible. You can't see the injustice. You can't see the murder. You can't see the child molestation. Trust me, I promise you, I got my eyes over my head because I'm very, 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 with these children, if I could protect every child on this planet, I would. I would. But I can't. I can do what I can, but I can't protect everyone. So now, you know what? I got so emotional, I forgot where I was. Free will, child, protect. Oh, finding out what's wrong, what's what makes this world a better place, what's my why? There is, what's my why? This is it. All the present moments that I am going to experience. When I'm resisting and I'm not flowing, with any present moment, there's no free will. Resistance is not free will. Resistance, you can't resist and have free will at the same time. Free will is the universe. The universe, all of the will of the universe is happening. The will of the universe is happening. That is the free will. I don't even know if I'm making sense, but I get it. But this is what I wanted to say. I'm not running around here doing anything hard or difficult other than asking the universe for assistance. My practice is, I communicate with the universe all the time. It's my main relationship. It's my main relationship. I say universe, you can say God, you can say source, I am, all that there is, higher power. Words, that's another thing. This thing that words are powerful, to everyone that's programmed. But when you are not programmed, when you recognize and you eliminate that program that words are powerful, because innately words are not powerful. Now, you have to learn that. Words are powerful. Words can hurt. Words can fill in the blank. Words can motivate. Now, I'm not just the negative. Words can motivate. Yeah, for a second, for a minute. Words. The energy is what's powerful. Your energy, your personal vibration is what's powerful. A word, letters strung together, but let me get back to my practice. I wanted to share with you what I do. I have a conversation with the universe. Palms up. If you can go outside, feet in the grass, or I'm in Las Vegas, I have this plastic grass. I can't stand this plastic grass, but... So I stand on the rocks, and I'll stand on plastic grass. But anyway, palms up, and you just ask, universe, how do I let go? How do I flow with every present moment? How do I surrender to your will? And in fact, that's another thing. People have these goals and desires and wants. I'm not poo-pooing anything. I get it. But I've already told the universe that my goals and my desires and my wants are your choosing. Because if I choose, it's just going to be all ego-based anyway. Whatever you want for me, universe, that's what I want for me. Whatever you desire for me, universe, that's what I desire. I don't have any other desires other than what the universe desires for me. And I trust and I know that the universe's plan is going to be a lot different than my plan. Notice I didn't use the word better. See, that's another thing, labels. Labeling anything good, bad, unfortunate, that word, unfortunately, it's sad. Check out the energy behind those words that you use. Check out the energy behind those words. And in fact, I was talking to someone, this is over a year ago, and this person kept using this word, unfortunately. I mean, it was part of a conversation. If you talk to them, that word was one of their favorite words. I mean, I have my favorite words too. But that word with that energy behind it, that unfortunately, oh, that's sad, or it makes me feel sad. You know the energy I'm talking about. So I even mentioned it. I said, here I go, butting into someone else's business. But if it's happening, it's supposed to be happening. And if it's not happening, guess what? It's not supposed to be happening. This life is a lot easier than the people have been made to believe. It just is when you flow. But back to the unfortunately, I said, because it triggered me. You're using this word unfortunately, and do you know the energy behind it? And the energy, how does that energy make you feel when you say unfortunately, all of that? And she agreed. She agreed. But guess what? She kept using the word unfortunately for months and months later. So I challenge you, if you believe that you, I'm not talking about everybody else, we're only talking about the person in the mirror, if you have free will, then change it. I'm up here with my customer service struggle. I'm still, there's no way the universe is going to let me croak and not master this customer service contentment thing. There's no way they're not going to let me do that. If I'm the world's happiness specialist, universe, you better gift me that one. Gift. You better gift me that one. You better. And so how would I do that? How I do that is stop identifying with that person that's on the phone that notices every problem with the customer service on the other end. See, I'm letting my ego win. If I'm on the phone with customer service and I'm bothered and I'm annoyed, my ego's winning. My ego's driving. That's not me. And what does the ego need more than anything else? It needs to be fed. It needs fuel and it needs to be fed. And the ego, free will? Oh, the ego will say, yes, of course. And then watch the ego make a change. Let's go to this worrying thing. We all know, can we all agree that worrying doesn't help us, the situation? Can we all agree that worrying is just like drinking poison? Can we all agree that worrying does absolutely no good to anyone? Can we all agree that you cannot worry and trust at the same time? I think we can say that's the truth. Scratch the think. I'm going to say that's the truth. So if you have free will and you know that worrying is not constructive, then stop it. Stop worrying. What do you mean you can't? Free will? Getting back to free will, a myth or reality. So all of the components must be discussed when you talk about you, not everybody else, because you know if you're programmed. I'm telling you right now, if you're programmed, there is no free will. None. Programmed. No free will. Make a different decision. And I'm not talking about, I'm trying to come up with an example. Of course, my example is I can't think of an example. Can't think of an example right now. Well, so then I'm stuck. That's another thing. This program of being embarrassed, how many of you out there are get embarrassed? Raise your hand if you get embarrassed. There's only one reason why people get embarrassed, and that's because they care about what someone else thinks. What someone else thinks, and that's another program. When you don't care about what anyone else thinks, it's impossible to be embarrassed. Impossible. Let me wrap it up with the free will. Unless anyone has questions, the number to call in and ask a question, press the number 1 is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And I realize that I push buttons. I realize that I push buttons because 98% of the population is going to bark out, yes, we have free will. Prove it. Do something different. create and could come up with a different thought pattern. If you if you respond the same way, react the same way all the time, can you come up, can you do something different instantly? If the answer is no, if I say stop worrying and you just can't stop worrying like that, where's the free will? I think I beat everybody up enough. Woo! Let's go over this level one of things that subtract from your happiness, level one. We talked about taking anything personally, worrying, fear, the inability or the resistance to forgive. How about that one? Holding a grudge. In fact, free will, you know about holding grudges. You know that doesn't do anything for the person that's holding the grudge either. Stop holding a grudge. Stop it. Stop it. Being critical of yourself or others. The need to be right. I used to have that. Oh, I used to have that. I was addicted to that. The need to be right. Lack of personal growth. That means, are you the same person you were 6 months ago? Are you the same person you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago? With this new free will thing, I'm not the same person I was 2 weeks ago, a week ago. Especially with this discovery. Oh, you know what? I talked about the subconscious and I didn't get to the conscious. So the subconscious, okay, I didn't get to that part. So the subconscious is, it has stored everything. It's just a human computer that stores all the data from the time you were born to the present. Every word, every thought, every experience, every emotion, every interaction is stored in the subconscious. And then the subconscious mind communicates with the conscious mind. So the conscious mind, and we know the conscious mind, unless you are on top of it, is the ego. And in fact, there is a scripture in the Bible, and this is not, I consider the Bible a book of lessons, a book of lessons to be learned, valuable lessons, life lessons. And so one of the things that's in that book is, unless you go back to have the mind of a child, you've heard that scripture, I should have looked it up, unless you have the mind of a child or you act like a child, and all that is saying, unless you have the mind of a child, you will not access the kingdom of heaven or access heaven. I'm paraphrasing, of course. All that means is a child before the programming. Who is the child before they're programmed? They're all connected. In fact, before the ego starts forming, the child, the baby, thinks, looking at the mom, looking at the light, looking at the ceiling, looking at the food, it's all connected. The child doesn't have any kind of any idea of separation. So the saying, the scripture says, unless you have the mind of a child, and that is taking it to 2023, all that is to me is before the programming, not having any program, being a innocent, a pure slate. The conscious mind. So now we have the conscious mind. Let's see. I'm just looking over my notes. The conscious mind has very little time to make a decision. Very little time. And see, that's the thing. When you are conscious, when you live consciously and you are self-aware, before any kind of action or reaction, you can actually practice pausing before reacting, before speaking. And then when you pause, you can make a determination of who it is that is speaking. Is there an agenda? What is the agenda? All before a word is spoken. This self-examination is constant. The am I just instantly reacting? Customer service, I'm already... So the practice is to step back from it all, witness it all. Step back meaning observe first. Observe what happens when you're triggered. Observe what happens when there is a common, you hear about someone dying. Observe what happens when something about money, losing it, gaining it. It's a reaction that is the same. Win, loss. I can. The trick is, going back to Tom Brady. The trick is, I don't want to know if you're winning or you're losing. See, you can look at a few coaches. In fact, Bill Belichick, one of my favorite coaches too, he walks up and down the sidelines, and you don't know whether or not his team is winning by 20 or losing by 20. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And you, my dear audience, you, my dear listener, the practice is this. The thoughts and the stories, they go hand in hand. What I do with my thoughts, number one, don't believe them. Number two, if they turn into a story, which they always do, this is why something's happening. The stories will always, they'll always give an answer why. The stories will always say, oh, it's because of this. And I'm here to tell you, those stories are not allowed to have any kind of power, any kind of weight, any kind of determination. No. I'm not coming up with a story because it's a story from my ego. I'm not entertaining my ego story, and they're very, very convincing, very convincing. So why am I feeling a certain way? Why am I feeling depressed? Why am I feeling sad? I'm using labels now. Why am I feeling depressed? Why am I feeling sad? Why am I feeling triggered? Why am I feeling angry? How about this? You're human, and it's just time for you to feel whatever you're feeling. The ego's going to have a heart attack with that one. It's just time for me to feel whatever I'm feeling, because my ego wants to put a story, wants to attach a story as to why. But I'm here to tell you, rise above the ego, my dear friends. Rise above and fly higher. And that poor ego will just talk about anxiety. My ego gets so bothered with me not identifying with it and not giving it the time of day. No, ego, I'm not going to believe that story. But look at all the evidence. Yeah, I know. What was it the other day? There was a story my ego tried to spoon feed me. What was it? Hold on, let me come up with it. I told you I'm cat sitting these two little kittens. I got five more days to go, and boy, and I'm counting down the days to five more days. It's been 11 days. I digress. But one of the things I learned about these cats, again, I said it again, they don't take anything personal. They're not doing anything personally to me. When I say don't chew on this plant, and then they leave, and then they come back and chew on the plant again, and I say, no, don't do that, and they come back and do it again, it's still not personal. These cats, they're teenagers. They want to do what they want to do. There's nothing to do with me. They're not, you know, my poor son. He's not listening. This is terrible. This is a terrible thing to say. He said, well, I remember one time, he says, they're disrespecting me. They're trying to pull the wool over my eyes. These cats are just being themselves. Sorry about that, Nathan. I had to laugh at that. Of course, he didn't like me laughing at him when he said that the cats are disrespecting him. Anyway, how the hell did I get off of that? I know how I did, because I was trying to come up with a story that my ego wanted me to believe. What was it? Oh, hold on. Okay, I'll give you an example. When my son dropped off the cats, he gave me three cases of food, just to make sure I had enough. And one of the cases of food was, well, two were opened, and one was wrapped, you know, with the plastic, so it hadn't been opened yet. And so two cases were open. And so I started using the one case that he told me, and I started using that to feed them. And then when that food was gone, I used the other case of food that was already opened. I didn't want to open another case of food when I had this case. Well, I was on the phone with him, was it yesterday or the day before, a couple of days ago, and he said, how is the food going? Because, you know, as kittens, you have to monitor their poop. It's just the whole thing. Yikes! No, thank you. Anyway, so monitoring the poop and I mix it in with pumpkin, with canned pumpkin and some kind of electrolytes. Oh, Jesus, these animals these days. But that's the younger generation. So then when he asked me, he said, how is their poop? And, yeah, their poop's fine. And did you feed, what food are you feeding? And I said, I just am giving them the other case that was open. Well, I wanted them to eat the same brand. Because that case that was opened was another brand. I wanted you to use the same brand. Well, I didn't. And I said, well, if you wanted me to use the same brand, why did you bring me another brand of food? See, that was a little. And, of course, he didn't like that. And then I didn't like, scratch that. His ego didn't like it, and my ego didn't like the fact that it's obvious. Why are you bringing me food if you don't want me to use it? I mean, here we go with the need to be right. See, all of this comes in. When I say reality, spirituality, I'm talking about this is real life. And so then there was a little pee under the mattress. You know, you could feel a little something. And my ego needed me to be right, and my ego was justifying. See, that's the thing. The ego loves to justify everything. I am justified to defend my decision or defend what I did. And so there was no free will in that conversation. There would have been free will if he had said whatever he had to say. I didn't take it personally, and I was quiet, and I said, okay, I'll start feeding them from this brand of food that you want me to feed them, that you want me to use. You see the difference, the conscious difference? So my ego wanted me to stay in this turmoil, because the ego does not feel comfortable with peace at all, wanted me to stay in this turmoil and told me story after story to justify what I did was right. But here we go. I had no free will in that moment. In that moment, I just had to react to what he said. Instant reaction. So you see the you see how tricky this free will is? And let's get back to this happiness is a choice. Oh, my goodness, and then I'm going to end the show. This thing about happiness is a choice. Is it really? If you're programmed to react the same way over the same things, you win, you lose. I'm talking about a game, a baseball game. You win a game and you lose a game. You're playing softball. You win or you lose. You're going to react the same way. Are you telling me that that is a choice? You have two ways of reacting, win and then lose? Or are you telling me when I say worry, stop worrying, you can change, you can stop worrying? Because if you can stop worrying instantly, yeah, that's free will. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it is a practice skill. It is not a choice if you're programmed. Why would somebody choose drama over peace unless they're programmed? Why would somebody choose to worry and stop and not worry, to continue to worry unless you're programmed? Why would somebody have a reaction? And you know this thing about death, people react to death so differently. And that's based on what we talked about earlier. DNA, IQ, subconscious mind, conscious mind, thought patterns. That all comes before you even utter a word. Thoughts come before the emotion. Free will. It's a practice. It's not a given. Well, that's all we have with today, all we have on today's show. I want to thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you can follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington, LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. YouTube channel. I have a few videos on the YouTube, and my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. LinkedIn, YouTube. I got a couple of TikTok videos, but anywho, my first book, Reality Spirituality: The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon, and the book that just went to the editors. Program for Unhappiness. Here we go. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You're a physical extension of the universe. You're conscious energy having a human experience. You're always evolving, always changing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. By accepting yourself wherever you are in any moment, everything is in order. Trust that. Know that. Surrender to the present moment. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist. Thank you for listening. Have a conscious week. And start making some different decisions if you have free will. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Spirituality.
Get down,
bring
to get spirituality.